when we look into becoming vessels. And how many want to be a vessel for God to use? Amen. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everyone say rest. Now once again, this rest is not the type of rest of sitting around doing nothing, waiting for God to get the job done. This type of rest is leaning in total dependence on Him. That is probably one of the most difficult steps for Christians, is to step into complete, true dependence on God. We have too many props, too many things that we learn to lean on that we can do in our own power and not have to depend on God. But the beauty of a truly mature Christian is they have got rid of the props in their life and they have learned, sink or swim, to depend on God. That's what Paul said. He said, those things that were gained to me, I counted but loss. But for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, he says, I count them all but dung, but animal waste, that I might gain the greater of God, that I might know Him, that I might find that place of dependence on God. I've seen it all over. It's so easy to fall into the security of just a little cubicle of what you know. That's why I commend this church so greatly, because God has empowered you and you've been able to respond to vision being cast before you in the past 4 months that maybe has stretched you. It's made you maybe uncomfortable. It's got you out of your comfort zone. But we grow the most under the greatest pressure. We grow the strongest against the greater resistance. And I tell you, the devil may throw everything against you when you try to step out and do something for God. The devil's not going to sit back and just relax because you're trying to do something for God. He'll try to make it really hard on you. He'll try to bring as many people against you as he can. Why? Because he knows there's the element of discouragement that might win. You'll give up. I call it the faith barrier. You cannot step out in faith and do something great for God and be comfortable. I'm sorry. You know, ships may be safe sitting in the harbor, but that's not what ships were built to do. Ships were built to sail the seas. You might have a storm to tell. You might have something come along. But I'm telling you, when God sends you, when God says go, let the storms come. And when He says go, He'll go with you. And if you get in trouble, He'll come walking on the water. And He'll bring a miracle to you. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, I don't want to get out in that sea. I've heard how rough it is. I'm safe right here, doing what I've always done. You know, it's amazing how people expect different results doing the same thing they've always done. The old saying, do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. Thank God for pioneers. Thank God for people not afraid to chart unknown waters. Hallelujah. Land of God's Spirit. Amen. Where you going, Abraham? I don't know. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I don't know where I'm going, but you know what? God said, that's my friend, and I'm going to bless him. And you want to be blessed? Step out. You want to be blessed? Get out of your little comfort zone. Get out of your little cubicle and bust the walls down of your little playhouse and say, God, what do you want me to do? God, blow my mind in 2003. Stretch my faith. Stretch my borders. Enlarge my territories. God, I don't want to march on this mountain for 40 years. God, take me in the territories. Take me in the places that I can grow in you. Oh, go ahead and praise them. Because the second you step out by faith, and sometimes when you step out by faith, things don't always go the way you thought they would go. Sometimes we view of least resistance. And the Holy Ghost said no. I didn't read anywhere where the elders of Jerusalem said, you can't go to Galatia. No. Thank God for people that are willing to take that higher step where they're led by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost forbid him to go. Oh, Paul. Paul waited. Then finally the vision came. Go to Macedonia. Come and help us. And he knew surely it was God's will to go to Macedonia. But Paul had waited patiently for that door to open. You've heard the saying, some were called and sent, others just went. You know, I don't just want to went. When you just went, you come back with your tail between the legs. Come on now. When you just go because you know, it's kind of like the guy who didn't have the message and he outran the messenger and he got there and felt pretty stupid because he had nothing to do. He had to wait for the messenger to come and tell the message. Hallelujah. There's something about throttling some of that zeal and some of that desire and saying, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? God, I'm ready to do something. I don't know what it is, but until you know it, surely. But Paul knew. But you read in 2 Corinthians, when he went to Macedonia, the Bible says they had no rest. Trouble on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Sound like God's will? Yeah. Sound like just like God's will. The closer you get to God's will, the more hornets that get stirred up. You know how I know sometimes I'm really doing God's will? I'm going through Hades. I'm fighting. I wake up in the morning and this old slew foot looking me right in the eyeball. I must be in God's will. I gotta be in God's will. Hallelujah. But hang on, because I'm telling you, where God guides, He provides. Where God leads, He comes through. And you watch. You can't leave houses and lands and securities and positions. You can't leave comfort and God not come back and say, I'm gonna bless your socks off. I'm gonna bless you. You watch for the tale. Very soon there's going to be a man come to you that God's going to put in your path. He's going to be a raven. A raven is a member of the buzzards. It's not a dove. It's not a pigeon. It's a raven. Which means you're not even going to recognize it. And just realize God's bringing this man to be a blessing to you. And He's going to open some awesome doors for you. And give you favor in some areas. Trust. The day will come when God will save him. But right now, he's just a raven. He's bringing you food and water. He's bringing provision. And God will do it! Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. Ha! Oh, my God is awesome! You see, when you know you're in God's will, you can enter into His rest. You see, when I enter into His rest, I cease from my struggling. My trying to make it happen. You know, bless God, I'll just bust the door down. Yeah. Then what are you going to do next if God didn't have that door open? Then you got to spend the next 10 months fixing the door you kicked down. Hello, somebody. He that rules His Spirit is greater than he that takes a city. Something about controlling and waiting on God. Hallelujah. And entering. He said, I will give you rest. Everyone say rest. You see, when it seems like you're getting frustrated in your work, and you're trying to do something for God, and you're not seeing fruit, and it feels like you're going backwards, pause. Pause from being so busy. And slip away into a time of waiting on Him. And you might be surprised to find out that He might not have sent you to do that. That it may not be time for you to try to... I see more people destroy opportunities to reach souls because they didn't recognize timing is everything in God's kingdom. Everything, 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 everything. Timing. Well, bless God, I gotta tell them the truth. Yeah. If you could learn timing... Timing. Amen. The Bible says it. You know, if the axe is blunt, you got to put forth more strength. Don't ever feel you're wasting your time preparing yourself, preparing your spirit for being used by God. Because you can run out there with a blunt axe, but you got to put so much. You got to take, you know, come on, where's Brother Daryl Minery? He's not here tonight. Our logger's here tonight. You got a dull axe. You got to put 30 licks, but you take time and you sharpen the axe. And with a few blows, you can get more done.
You want to know one of the greatest faith destroyers? Lack of preparation. Lack of preparing your spirit and your heart for what God wants you to do. Elijah, 3.5 years waiting on God by a brookside. Was he wasting time? No. Because a day would come when in one day, with one prayer, he'd win an entire work. And that's what I'm talking about, entering his rest. God can do 3 years of work in one day. When I've entered into his rest. Oh, come on, somebody. I tell you, my soul longs for the soon coming day that I can spend twice as much time waiting on God than all these things that right now I just have to do because it's my responsibility. But God's going to bring enough people in this church to where I can give myself to prayer and fasting and to waiting on God. Because I know if I can enter into his rest, I'll be a better pastor. I'll be a better leader. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better soul winner. But when I burn my candle on both ends and I'm trying to, hallelujah, and I know it's needed right now, and I'm not complaining, church. I've thrown my heart into it. But the day's going to come, church, that God's going to bring and raise up leadership in this church, that I'm not going to have to do every little thing. And every vision I have in my heart will be emulated through the hearts and to the hands of those that are serving God's kingdom. And God will be able to lift this church into a higher dimension. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. See, when I find his rest, I discover his yoke is easy. His burden is light. You see, the Lord's rest. It's the rest from the torment, the weight, the grief. The grief of shame. You know, I miss years or I'm not where I need to be in God, so you drive yourself. But somehow I got to make up for lost time. No, you got to enter into his rest. It's not a rat race. And even if it was and you won it, you're still just a rat. Hallelujah! Forget about the rat race. Forget about John Smith. God does not gauge success in building size and attendance and bank accounts. He gauges success by doing the will of God. If you're doing God's will and you're putting your heart into it, you are successful regardless of what you stand with. Oh, come on, somebody. See, what happens is when you look over and you see, you're trying to do it and you're not seeing results, the devil whispers and says, you know, you just don't got it. God don't love you as much as John Smith over there that's having revival. If he loved you enough, he'd use you. You know what? God puts his finest vessels in the fire the longest. Hello, somebody. What if it feels like the world's passing you by? I remember when I was serving there with the Kilgore's Church in Houston, Texas. And I was a pastor's son. I'd given myself for 4 years, to serving, to knocking doors, teaching Bible studies, doing children's ministry, running bus routes. Besides all the years of, you know, whatever. And I would see young men come into church and get the Holy Ghost and in 7 months be out preaching. And I would sit there and say, God, what's wrong with this equation? Yeah. But God's greatest vessels stay in the fire longer. Thank God I didn't bail out. Get impatient. Go find me a pastor that'll give me a license. Oh, help me, Jesus. Come on now. Go find me a preacher that'll give me what I want. No. I just sought the face of God. I'm going to tell you something. The day came and God had put me and I was standing in front of hundreds of thousands of people and seeing people get the Holy Ghost. And some of those guys, they were like shooting stars, weren't even preaching anymore. It's about relaxing and entering into his rest. You are only responsible to do what God has called you to do. Not what your family thinks you should do, or your parents, or your friends, or your own low self-esteem and shame because of some mistake you made in your past. You got to prove you're only responsible to do what God has called you to do. You see, He is our refuge. That word labor in the original in Matthew 11 means to feel fatigue, by implication, to work hard. Now, there's a paradox here. Because if you were to take this scripture just by its context in the King James English, you would think, well, then all I got to do is sit back and wait and my ministry will come along. Put your hand to something. And whatever your hands find to do right now, pour. You know what true ministry is discovered? Finding a place to serve and doing it day in and day out. Day in and day out. Being faithful. Being not jumping from thing to thing and waiting for your ship to come in. That's where true character is built. Yeah, because true ministry sometimes isn't always gravy chain. It's not always lights. And it's not, sometimes you do things that only God sees. But when you're truly faithful and you're committed, you'll do it. That's where success in God's kingdom comes. Doing what's right again and again and again and again and again and again. Doing what's right. Doing what you know God has called you to do. But the key is you must labor or work to see the breakthrough. But when the breakthrough comes, you have to learn to get into the flow and simply follow the momentum of His Spirit. Everything that I've been trying to do in this church the past 6 months has been to build spiritual momentum. That's why you want to get me on edge, you start touching the momentum of this church. I'll be on you like a duck on a June bug. Don't you touch that! Don't you mess with that area. It took a long time to get that momentum going. Because see, once it's going, then you're going to enter into His rest. See, Chuck Yeager discovered this. There was something he wanted to break called the sound barrier. And it's the point, whatever it is, Mach 1.5 or Mach 2, where the plane he's going in reaches what is called the speed of sound. It's that invisible barrier, and many, many pilots had lost their lives trying to break the sound barrier. Many pilots described it as they were flying. They would say that the cockpit would just begin to shake, and many planes were not aerodynamically designed for these speeds, and many times the planes would either disintegrate or the pilots would lose consciousness and the planes would fall to the ground. Many lost their lives. But on that day, Chuck Yeager said, as he was sitting there and he knew he was reaching the point of the sound barrier, the speed of sound, the force of the speed of sound and the resistance was getting so great against the cockpit and the wings that the whole plane began to shake. And just the pressure was... And he said, the moment I thought I couldn't take it no more, he said, I reached down and I pushed that throttle ahead a little further. And then I heard a loud boom! And suddenly, that thing, that invisible barrier that was resisting him, was now behind him, pushing him as he was going to greater speeds than man had ever known before. He said, at first he thought he had died because it was so quiet. He looked around him and everything was quiet and it was still. But it happened. He'd broken the speed of sound. And you see, when you're trying to have revival in a city, in a church, you get against that faith barrier and hell throws everything against you. And it seems like the pressure is so great I just can't take it. I was better off back there in Egypt with the leeks and the onions and under the bondage of Pharaoh. That's what your mind will start telling you when you start reaching for the promise. When you start trying to move forward. But you've got to keep pressing. You've got to put forth effort. You've got to fast. You've got to pay a price. You've got to pray. It may take all night. Sometimes 3 days of fasting won't cut it. It may take 5. It may take 7. It may take 10. But whatever it takes, keep pushing. Because when you break that faith barrier, those devils that were fighting you will now be behind you as you go to greater depths in God. And you won't have to put near the effort forth. You won't have to put near the work forth. But God will take you into greater depths in Him. Oh, come on, somebody praise Him. So entering into His rest is breaking the faith barrier. It's like that eagle that searches for those thermal wind currents that spiral upwards. He searches for them. And an eagle, when he first takes off, and I've seen them. I've seen eagles swoop down and grab fish in their talons, and the fish are so big, it almost seemed like it would drag them underwater. But they would begin to beat their wings. And what were they fighting? Something called the law of gravity. And they would beat their wings, trying to break that grip. And the eagle knew if it stopped beating its wings one time, it would die. And that's how desperate in God you gotta get. To break away from the law of this flesh, the law of sin, the things of this life that stuff out vision and progress in God. You gotta get up in the morning and drag your carcass to the prayer room and say, you're gonna pray, buddy, whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. Why? I'm trying to break free. I'm trying to overcome this flesh. I'm trying to break free from the discouragements and the bonds of hell. Push that plate aside. Flesh I'm not gonna eat. Because what I'm feeling means more to me inside for God. I'm more hungry for Him than I am anything else. But that eagle will finally break that grip of gravity. And then it searches for those wind currents. And when he finds them, Brother Arbuckle, he can stretch his wings. He's got those 9 feathers on each wing that he can turn aerodynamically. And those feathers create little spiral cushions of air. And I have sat on a lake. I've watched eagles float in huge circles higher and higher for over an hour and never beat their wings one time. I remember sitting watching that and God speaking to me and saying, thus it is when you enter that secret place with me, where you're in tune with my spirit. For every day, you embrace that discipline of seeking my face. Then you enter into that rest. But you're not striving and trying to make it happen. And I know we're climbing, church, but we're going to find us a thermal dress somewhere. We're going to find us that breakthrough. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, with the slightest effort, great things will be done in God. Let's ask God to help us find that rest. Next slide. Keys to entering into His rest. He said, take His yoke. That's the first key. Take in the original is zugos, which means to join. You got to become joined with Him. That's, you know, that's why when you enter in a relationship with God, it needs to be forever. Same thing with marriage. I do is forever. Don't even let the D word be discussed. Don't even talk about it. Amen. Become joined with Him. You see, justification is taking off the shame and guilt of my past that weighs me down. Righteousness is putting on Christ, putting on His purity. We must first, by faith, receive deliverance from shame and the weights of it before we can truly put on Christ. Next slide. The second key to His rest is learning of Him. Once we've joined ourselves with Him, then we must learn of Him. That word learn means to learn by use and practice. To be in the habit of, to be accustomed to. That's why everyday prayer is important. Not just for the ritual, you're learning of Him. As you pray and as you digest His Word, you're learning of His ways. You're learning of His character. He goes on to say, meek and lowly. That word meek and lowly means mild, humble. Or lowly in spirit, brokenness. There's something about allowing these things in your past to become brokenness in you, to where you depend on God more and more. And when brokenness comes forth and you depend on Him, people will be amazed at your power. I've talked to many, like my pastor, Brother Kilgore. I remember asking him one day, I said, Brother Kilgore, how did God develop humility in you? Amen. The Kiko told me, he said, Arcovio, when I was a young man in my teens and 20s, pride was my greatest downfall. I was so proud and so arrogant. He said, but through fasting and praying, God took, through the power of His Spirit, my greatest weakness and produced what you describe as being the greatest strength. But it's the area of my spirit God has worked over the most. And that's what God does when you take your weaknesses. You don't try to hide them. You don't try to justify them. You don't try to be righteous in yourself. But you give it to Him. He takes it. And it's like that oyster that gets that little grit of sand under its shell. And it's an annoyance. But that annoyance, He coats it and coats it until it becomes something of beauty called a pearl. So, instead of praying, God, take away this weakness. No, God won't take it away. But He's going to transform it. And your greatest weakness can become your greatest strength by becoming broken before Him. Next slide. Entering into His rest. Got some hieroglyphics there. Rest means cessation, refreshment, rest. To make, to cease. Christ's rest is not necessarily a rest from work. This is Vine's translation of this. Vine's writings on this. Christ's rest is not a rest from work, but in work. A rest in work. Not the rest of inactivity, but of the harmonious working of all the facilities and affections of will, heart, imagination, and conscience, because each has found in God the ideal sphere for its satisfaction and development. It's simply knowing I'm approved of God. I'm right where I need to be in God. Well, man, why aren't you out pastoring the church? Sitting there, shining Brother Arcovio's shoes. I'm right where I need to be in God. I haven't missed a boat. Hallelujah. That's right. And when my time comes, and God opens that door, it'll be Him. And it won't be me. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and 14, how much more to the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What are dead works? Dead works are the works of our flesh without empowerment by God, because being given over by trespass or sin. The number one thing that will short circuit your anointing in God and your ability to be used quicker than anything is unrepentant sin. Sin that you do not deal with before God.
sin that you try to cover up and act that's not there. It's like when it rains. I can walk out here in this mud and about 15 steps later, I'm standing about this high off the ground. I mean, it's you walk out there after a while, it gets very hard to walk. Because it clings to you. That's how some people are. They come to church laden down with sin in their life they've not dealt with, and they think, well, I can just worship over it. I can just work over it. I can just put a smile on and walk past it all. And you're like walking through gumbo mud. And all your energy that should be put towards faith and the miraculous is being used just convincing yourself you've got the strength in your dead works to just do it. Sad, sad shape. When a ministry, a saint, a preacher, when anybody reaches the point that you can have sin in your life that you know is there, and God's convicting you of it, but you think you've got the ability to simply do what you do over it. You're missing it, my friend. Enter into His rest. Put off the trespass of sin. Put aside the dead works. Get it right before God in the prayer room before you get in here and try to play or sing or do anything. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. Next slide. Entering into His rest. 1 Peter 2:11, He said, "Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, abstain from sinful desires which war against the soul." Abstain. Sorry. It's not safe sex. It's abstination. It's not temperance with drugs and alcohol. It's abstination. Come on now. You see, the rivers of living water need to flow through us clean. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. It's, and we do have, if you had a huge pipe with water coming through it, and you was drinking that water, but it was from a clear, clean source, you'd be fine. But if a possum crawled in there and died, you'd know within a few days something was wrong with this water. The problem, people want the pure flow of God's Spirit to come through their vessels, but they've been sitting around watching and reading and looking at junk, or got spirits that are just out of order, bad spirits, spirits of unsubmission, spirits of self-will, spirits of rebellion, and they think they can go and they can just do what they want and then God flow through me. His Spirit might flow through you, but it's going to have some mud in it. It's going to have some problems there. Dead works affect our conscience by clouding its function. If my conscience is not clear, I know in my heart I'm not right. And I lose confidence. I can try to fool you, but I know I really need to go somewhere and get a good praying through. To get my conscience. That's what Paul said. I exercise. How many exercise? I've been preaching about exercising for 6 months. My Lord, what's wrong with you, couch potatoes? Get out and walk. Yeah, I exercise from the couch to the table. Take care of your health. It's good for you to walk and do things. It's good for your health. Nothing wrong with it. Amen. Don't come and ask me to pray for your heart problem and you're sitting there eating a bag of burritos and Twinkies. Come on now. Come here, oh, pray for me. I'm not feeling good, Pastor. Of course. You're not taking care of yourself. And I pray for you, God heals you, and go home and wreck your health all over again. Ooh, I'm getting down where the rubber meets the road here. Talking about Twinkies and Krispy Kremes. Oh, come on now. Now I'm getting down where you live. It's okay to have a Krispy Kreme as long as you walk a mile. I'm telling you, church, it's a good way to deal with stress.
You get a little bit of exercise now and then. When you exercise, it's something you got to discipline yourself to do. Discipline. And Paul said, I exercise my conscience to be void of offense towards God or man. Now, he didn't say, I don't ever offend God or man. He said, I exercise my conscience to be void. And I believe Paul was the kind of man that had to go back every now and then and say, you know what? That wasn't quite right. I was pretty rough on Mark there, but you know what? Let him come on along with us. You know, he's John Mark. He's all right. You know, and why? Because Paul was a choleric. And if your primary is a choleric, you learn to say I'm sorry very, very fluently in many languages. Hallelujah! Praise God! Can't tell me someone who went through the churches beating women and children, what, I'm still a little rough, even with the power of the Holy Ghost all over. Read some of his letters, my friend. Hallelujah. I understand Paul, because I'm not trying to sound like a Paul, but you know, I have one way to deal with things, and that's head-on collision. I don't beat around the bush. I beat all the leaves off the bush and jerk your carcass out of there and say, get it right. Oh, somebody! Hallelujah! I shake it. And I know, I'm sorry. That's just my way of dealing with things. You don't got to have an interpreter to know what I'm thinking. Or what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. But sometimes I don't always get it right. And I've had to learn to come back around again and say, you know what? I was a little rough on saying that. I apologize. I shouldn't have been honest. You know, it's all right. I'm not no halo over my head. I'm not perfect. Hallelujah. Quit nodding your head, Brother Greg. Hallelujah. His battery going, yeah, all right. But I exercise my conscience to be void of offense, which means go back and clean up some spilled milk. Go back and make some things right. And when you discipline yourself to go back and humble yourself, not, you know, I'm sorry if I offended you. Come on, get off your high horse. That's not an apology. Don't even waste your breath. If I offended you, that's, you know, look, what I told you was wrong. I didn't have the right spirit. Would you forgive me and let's work this out? You do that a couple times, you're going to be a little more careful. Hello, somebody. A little more cautious about opening mouth and inserting foot. Hallelujah. You taste sock and toes a little bit. Hallelujah. You don't learn. You don't like that diet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Peter said, excuse me, James said, any man can tame his tongue. He can bridle the whole body. You can get this tongue under control. We all let the tongue get ahead of us. Amen. Praise God. That's why God gave us one tongue and two ears. It not only affects our conscience, but it clouds our view of ourselves. Because you know what? You can fool anybody except yourself. You know in your spirit whether you're living right or not. A clouded conscience has a difficult time hearing the clear voice of God. That's why I don't weigh myself down with a bunch of junk. That's why I don't got to be on the cutting edge and everything that's happening in the latest of everything. Because there's some stuff I don't want to even cloud my spirit with. Because I want to hear His voice clearly. Amen. 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 The voices of shame create static and confusion. And the Spirit and the Word, the Rhema of God, cannot flow through us. But when we're prayed up, when we're fasted up, when we're together, hallelujah, then God can flow through us. what do we got going on? Amen. Got something beeping or going or... Oh. Let's go ahead and turn that off, boys. For the night. I know Pastor Alcovio's preaching is very boring, but you'll endure it and you'll make it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and close. Amen. Clean out the well. Genesis 26. The wells that the father's servants had dug in the time of Abraham, the Philistines had stopped it up, filling them with earth. And maybe there's some wells here tonight that at once used to be free and clear and flowing with God's word, with God's love, but you've let bitterness come in, or you've let junk or sin, whatever. Don't lament it. Don't sit there and beat yourself up. Don't put yourself down and say, "Oh, God can't ever use me." Just get it right. Clean out the well. Get the junk out. Get rid of whatever it is that's clogging up your system and the Holy Ghost. They reopened the wells the Philistines had stopped up. You see, this, my friend, is true holiness. Not your shirt length and sleeve length and dress length and hair length and do's and don'ts, necessarily. It's when you seek to have the right spirit and have a clear conscience for God. There ain't a rule book in the world that'll guide you like the voice of God. Like that, like being sensitive. I like it when my spirit is sensitive, even to the smallest things. Yeah. That tells me I'm praying like I should be praying. When God can convict me about the small areas. But the more I ignore His conscience and His voice, my conscience becomes heavier and heavier. And pretty soon things are sliding by that should never slide by. Hello? I'm preaching to John Arcovio right now. I'm also preaching to someone else here. It's a good chance. If my spirit gets out of order with my sweet wife, and I find myself not treating her respectfully, but if I, then, you know what? I can't blame anyone else but myself. My prayer life has fallen off. I've become too busy to let God marinate me with His presence and love. I've got to slow down the merry-go-round and find that secret place. You see, true holiness has direct connection with God. False holiness is void of intimacy with God. Preacher, I do this and I don't do this, and I speak in tongues and I got this, and but your spirit is like a devil. You can't control your tongue. And you just tell everybody off. Yeah, come on, somebody. You just walk around and you just wreck everything. You get a hold of some true holiness, my friend. True holiness recognizes the free gift of righteousness and will work daily to protect that gift of righteousness from God and to keep our conduits clean and clear. I feel a word for this church, and I'm going to stop right here. And that's clean out the junk. It's time to do a house plan. It's time to go through some things and say, "Hey, how did you get in here? How'd you sneak into this car, you crazy tape? Hello, somebody. I don't gotta hear about whose wife took who and my dog left me and hello, somebody." Now, I'm going to stop there because, you know, sometimes people just want to know, okay, what's wrong so I can do this? Tell me. No, I don't want to tell you. I want you to pray and let God convict you. And you know what's right and wrong. You know that God's voice. Don't come and hand me a tape and say, "Pastor, is this okay?" Get in a red hot prayer meeting and then listen to the tape and see if it's all right. Your Holy Ghost will tell you.
My Holy Ghost is never wrong. All right, now somebody. Come on now. Hallelujah. What do you say, church? We clean out the junk. Now, I know some of us have been fasting during this time, and thank you. And some of us are still going to fast these next few days, however many days God wants you to. Take this time to let God talk to you about the junk that's clogging up your conduit. Maybe you're sitting in your living room and you got cable television coming in with HBO and all that smut and junk. And you sit there and you listen to every curse word under the sun. And it clogs up your spirit. Maybe it's time for you to get rid of that thing. Let God talk to you about it. You can't control it. And you're sitting there, and all that junk's coming into your spirit. And time again, you find yourself watching things you shouldn't watch. Get rid of the problem. That's right, shut it. I tell you right now, I don't believe a person with television is going to hell. And I don't have one in my home. Hello? Breathe in, out. But someone who sits there and lets junk come into their living room, and you bring pornography and you bring soft, adultery and junk into your house, you're asking for trouble. Amen. Are you telling me, Pastor, I got to go out and get rid of my television? No, I'm not going to tell you that. You need to pray. But if you go out and get rid of it because I tell you, then you haven't really done what God's asked you to do. But if you do it just as I tell you to do it, then, after a while, it's not going to mean anything to you. But you need to seek God. And I'm not missing it. I'm right on target. I'm dead center. If you can't pray 20 minutes, but you got no problem watching TV for 4 hours, you got a problem, my friend. That thing is consuming you. Amen. Clean out the junk. Clean out the junk. Amen. The people that truly love God with all their heart, that are seeking His face, that are trying to be used of God, don't have time for most of that junk. I don't know how people find the time for half the stuff they do. When you really are taking care of your family, spending time with your family, you don't have time for that junk. Alright? Amen. I can stand, please. I want to enter into His rest. And church, I feel such a heavy burden on my heart. I feel the call of God. Lord's talking to some folks tonight. It's time to do some spiritual inventory. It's time to check. Where do I stand with You, God? Where do I stand in my commitment to You? What things in my life do I need to scale back? What stuff do I need to clean out of the pipes of my spirit? Amen. I challenge you in the Holy Ghost. If you will pray that prayer sincerely, not be offended or try to push aside whatever God tells you. If you will step up and say, God, talk to me. Show me. Turn on the searchlight up to my heart. That's why I don't even like listing things. Because you know what? You can't cover everything in the book. I don't even like starting that stuff.
I know the Holy Ghost is knocking on someone's heart to heart. God, turn the searchlight on. Search me. Know if there be any wicked way within me. Church, let's just come forward tonight. I feel the wonderful conviction of the Holy Ghost tonight. And we don't need to pass this off quickly. Maybe there's some areas that you've gotten sloppy in and you've gotten lax in, and you want to reconsecrate those areas to God. Maybe there's some things that you knew in your heart wasn't supposed to be in your home, but you've let it come in, and you need to shut that door. You need to push the tide back. There are some things that you're letting get a hold of you, and you need to lay them before God and say, God, I'm giving these things back to you. Oh, come on.